ask you to rise and join me in welcoming our very own Pastor Robin Beal.
Praise God. Well, I was like, Lord, thank you for all the word. I should have just said, okay, so amen. We've heard enough to be free, right? Hallelujah. You know, in praying the last couple of weeks, I actually took time off work these last week and a half, just asking God to revive me, not in the sense of a spiritual man, but in the sense of my natural body. I was exhausted from two accreditations, and I felt like I had gone under. So I was like, Lord God, help me, revive me. But I want to speak today on refocusing. And afterwards, I'm going to ask Marie to come up and share a word, because it's so neat the way God orchestrated from Sister Corey to Barb to the brother that spoke here to Marie. I am excited about when God does that. So I want to start off with December 30th, which means we only have one more day as we enter into the new year of 2019. This is a good time to refocus on the past, to reflect, and then to focus on the future. What often stands before us when we reflect on the past is only our failures. But as we've heard and as God has spoken to me, you can't look at your failures only. You have to look beyond the failures, because Christ has forgiven you for the failures. Refocus so that you go into 2019 seeing God's plan for your life and that of your family. As you reflect, ask yourself, what was my connection in Christ like in 2018? What was my connection for my family? You know, what's so strange often is that we only think of the reflection and we only think of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's deeper than your relationship with Jesus Christ. What was your relationship like with your family? Because they know the true you. What was your connection like with your church family? What was your connection like on your job? Sometimes we're incognito. We're saved at home, saved other places, and you get to your job and you forget all about it, because when you get angry, you react out in your anger. But let me tell you something. A Christian goes to work as a Christian too. They walk as a Christian and talk as a Christian at work. So Christ is with us all day. As you reflect, ask yourself, what am I like in my neighborhood? Are you the house that people walk by and they smile, or are you the house that cross over to the other side of the street? We had a house that literally we walked on the other side of the street. She would come out and she was just angry. So we were like, okay, let's just cross over to the other side of the street. And I later found out that maybe she had a lot of things to be angry about. I don't know. But what I did find out is that we thought she was angry, and she really wasn't. She just looked that way. She was always looking like she was disgusted. So refocus. Take time to refocus. In life, we all get so busy. But I tell the leaders at Riversong something that in the last year that we've been talking about off and on. And that is that whatever you put your hand to, if Christ is not a part of it, then it's aimless. So sometimes we say, well, I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go do that. But you're doing it in your own strength and you haven't asked Christ, what is the plan? But the absence of Christ means the failure of everything you put your hands to. So it's not just about a good deed. It's about doing what Christ wants you to do. I grew up and about three different churches over the years. But there was one song that was a constant. And the song said, without the Lord, I can do nothing. Without the Lord, I would fail. Without the Lord, my life would be drifting like a ship without a sail. We often don't think of that. When we get up in the morning and we're on our way, without the Lord, we can't do a thing. We can't go anywhere. We can't be there. Our bodies will be there. But until the Lord connects with us, something is missing. Refocus. You and I must face the facts that the best constructed plan, program, relationships, families are aimless, pointless, meaningless, and directionless. Directionless without Christ. Christ has to be in everything. I remember as a child growing up and laughing at a lady that was in our church. So, see, I was not good. And I would laugh at her because she would stand up, and her name was Hattie Milligan. So her name was something to laugh at first. So we always laughed at her. But when she came to church, the one thing that she would say is, "This morning when I woke up, I asked the Lord to tell me how to begin my day." So, you know, as a kid, you're thinking, how to begin your day? You don't have to ask the Lord that. Get in there and take a shower and get yourself together. And you know, we just thought, but as I've gotten older, and a lot older, I just had a birthday. I'm 61 years old, and I praise God for that. I got to be 60. You know, I'm so crazy because everybody else was calling saying, "Do you feel bad yet? Do you feel bad about your age?" I guess because of where I come from, I can't believe that I got to be 61. So I'm like still in that excitement stage. I am 61, and I was walking around telling everybody, "I got to be 60. I called my sister. I said, "I'm 61. I got to be 61. And she was talking to me. She said, "You are so strange." She said, "You are just so strange. Everybody else would be calling saying, "I'm 61. And she said, "You say it, I got to be 60. I said, "It's so exciting to me because I look back from what my mother and father were told, that I wasn't going to live and that I wasn't going to make it through my teenage life. And here I am, an old lady, and I'm still pushing. And I'm not trying to go anytime soon." So I praise God for that. He gave me life, and that more abundantly. But we need to refocus. I have some things as Christians. Moving about the port, making decisions daily, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Am I turned to the right channel? You know, we need a connection with Christ. And sometimes, just like a television channel, you're trying to see a program, and I'm not deep, so you could follow me today. I'm telling you that. So as you're trying to see a television program, and you're on the wrong channel, you have to turn the channel to connect to that program. Some of you need to turn the channel. There have been times in my life when I recognize I'm not on the right channel. When I get in the presence of the Lord, I've got too many things on my mind. Too many things I am concerned about. I have to stop, refocus, and turn to the connection of Jesus Christ. And then say, "Father, I'm here. What do you have for me?" Amen. Reconnect. Another thing is, am I allowing Christ to guide me? You know, as he guides you through his plans, it stops being so tedious. As I've gotten older, something else I've learned, when things get tedious, maybe I'm not in the right place or doing the right thing. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a trial. I'm smart enough to realize that. But I'm talking about when you get into the point that you're striving and it feels like, "Oh, I can't break through. I can't." Something's wrong. And maybe you just need to stop and say, "God, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because you're my perfect guide, and you will guide me through this. What am I supposed to be doing?" The other thing is, am I focused on the lessons you are trying to teach me? You know what's so funny is that many people can go through life and go through some very hard things and never come out with a lesson. But are you focused? How many know people like that? They go through life and they've went through some tough things and they never learned one lesson. You say, "What did you learn? What are you talking about? Was there something to learn?" Oh, yes, there was something to learn. And you need to learn it. So you don't just keep going through the same thing over and over again. Sometimes it's just for the fact that you need to acknowledge that, Christ, you are there and you've never left me. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. David said, I have been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed out begging for bread. You need to stop, freeze, and say, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What was in that lesson? Another thing is, ask yourself, what I spend the bulk of my time in, the bulk of my worry, the bulk of my sleepless nights, the bulk of my restless days, is Christ in it? Is he a part of it? We need to ask ourselves, because sometimes we just get involved in things that Christ has not asked us to get involved in. We get tangled up in things that Christ has not asked us to get tangled up in. He's asked us to pray, but we spend a whole lot of time involved in it. And then we can't sleep. We can't do anything. And we say, I'm depressed. Recently, I asked someone that said to me they were depressed. I said, let me ask you a question. Are you involved in the right thing? Is this what Christ has asked you to become a part of? Is this what he asks you to do? You know, it's one thing. Everybody in my family, except one, me, chose the military. So I wanted to follow suit. So I went and took the test. And it took the guy at the Air Force, the recruiter, to look at me and say to me, I don't think you're military material. I got mad. I said, what do you mean I'm not military material? And he said, no, you did fine on the test, but here's the reason why you're not military material. He said, I don't know what it is, but I sense you're supposed to be doing something else. I think you have another place to be. I think there's something else for you. He said, you just don't look like that type of person that's going to go through the military. Well, I was following because I just wanted to do what my family had done. And my uncle bragged about it so much, and he finished the military. My other uncle, my brother had gone through. And I just thought, well, Lord, maybe that's my goal. But you know what? It wasn't. And I was striving because I was crying and I was saying, well, what should I do? What should I do? And Christ had already whispered to me what to do. And I was going, I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't think I want to do that. It's just so much to it. There's so much accountability. There's so much. God, And then finally one day just realizing, where do I go from here? I had to stop and refocus. So all of you have saying, does she have a Bible scripture with her today? Yes, I do. See, I wanted to give that to you before because I want you to know that I will be leaving you very soon. I will be sitting down. So Philippians 3, I want you to look at it. I set the stage for Paul because one thing with Paul, he has a lot of accomplishments. Came from what they believed to be a wealthy family. They say that his education was great, and he studied with one of the greater philosophers. Paul had lots of associates. He took many journeys, and he had many writings, and he was persecuted, and he suffered a lot. But when Paul began to look at Philippians 7, this is what he said. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And everything, what was Paul saying here? It's worthless to have written the Pauline epistles. It's worthless to have gone on those missionary journeys. It's worthless for all of those things to happen. No, not the way you're thinking. But Paul was looking at the fact that it's all of the things he had done in his human life and in accomplishment, in his Jewish faith, were not to be compared to knowing Christ. Amen. Sometimes we get works and everything mixed up with the fact that Jesus Christ wants deeper than that. It's not about where we came from, what we've done, how many degrees you have. The more you can excel, the bigger house you get. All of those things are wonderful, thank God. But it's deeper, 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 deeper than that. The deepness of all of it is knowing Christ. The difference between knowing Christ and being told about Christ is big. I may know your name, but if I don't really know you, I am not involved in your life. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than rubbing elbows with someone. Because when you really come to know him, when you really come to understand him, you look at him for everything. Everything you do, you ask before you do it. You want him to please him. You refocus and you say, Heavenly Father, I want to be and do what you want me to do. When you displease him, you're heartbroken. I've been there. I've been heartbroken. I've come back and said, Father, I'm sorry, and had to ask God to do a new thing in my life. Make rivers in those dry places and bring me back, Lord. How many have ever done that? Let me explain something to you. I was reading something, and I love to read about the old preachers. I have a book called Sisters in the Spirit, and I also love Charles Spurgeon. And he wrote a sermon that says, Do You Know Him? And I'm going to put on glasses because I'll probably get lost, and even though I take them off and on, that's why I can't get used to them. We're going to read this. He said, They tell me he is a refiner. Now, the presence of this sermon in the beginning was this. He was going on the basis of what people were telling him. Is that a relationship if people are telling you? No. It's not until you actually have it happen. So he said, They tell me he is a refiner, that he cleanses from spots. He has washed me. This is when he can testify. He has washed me in his precious blood. And to that extent, I know him. They tell me that he clothed the naked. He hath covered me with the garment of righteousness. To that extent, I know him. They tell me that he is a breaker, and he breaks fetters. And he has set my soul at liberty. Therefore, I know him. They tell me that he is a king and that he reigns over sin. He has subdued my enemies beneath his feet. I know him in that character. They tell me he is a shepherd. I know him, for I am his sheep. They say he is a door. I have entered in through him, and I know him as a door. They say he is food. My spirit feeds on him as the bread of heaven. Therefore, I know him. Do you know him? Do you really, really know him? Have you refocused in your life to a point that you're saying, God, I know you? Because let me tell you something. It's going to come a short time soon when people have to stop telling you who he is. I've been some places in life and I had to remind myself of who he is. The Bible says in Psalm, David encouraged himself in the Lord. There have been times I've walked places and been places that I could not tell somebody or anybody everything that was going on, but I had to encourage myself in the Lord. In the last several weeks, I have encouraged myself in the Lord because I do know him as a healer. I do know him as a deliverer. I do know him as a way maker. I do know him as a savior. I do know him as a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I do know him as a blood cleanser. I do know him as a way maker. I do know him as a partner. I do know him as a person that will And because of that, those times when I'm refocusing, it makes it easier because I'm not living off your dream. I'm not living off of what you have said. Philippians, let's put up to verse 12. I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things, that I have already reached perfection. We're not going to reach perfection until we're with him. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. This is your focus. He said, I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. Letting it go. And looking forward to what lies ahead. Christ still isn't done with you. If you have breath, he still has something for you to do. You know, I love the word retirement. Because it sounds like you can rest a little longer in bed. You don't have to get up at 5. So I love the word retirement. But let me help you all out. It doesn't mean Christ is done with you. It just means that you got to get up and go do something else. It just means that he's calling you to serve others. It just means that he wants you to be the one in the hospital, the one standing next to someone. You know, I saw something on a commercial and I cried because I said, Father, I know that I could do that. And I would love to do that. And so I said, there's one thing I can do. And that is go to the hospital and people that have left their babies behind, just sit in a chair and hold them. I thought, what a job, what a job. I could see me holding the baby, kissing the baby, praying for the babies, and asking God to restore life to the babies. And asking God to be with that baby that has been left and let them know that they still have life. I could see myself following that child through life, encouraging that child that you are somebody and that Christ will never, ever leave you. Your mother may leave you. Your father may leave you. Your generation, your friends, everybody may leave you. But Christ will never leave you. So they show a picture of this elderly man sitting in a rocking chair holding a baby. And he's rocking that baby and just holding that baby and the baby's looking right at him. I thought, there's a job for Robin. But as I focus, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press. Some of us need to get in the press. You're in the press about all kinds of crazy things. I hear people, you know, that's the reason why there was so much money made at Christmas time, because people were in the press. I rode past one of the stores and people were lined up down the walkway from Best Buy and around the corner heading towards the other stores. I said, man, what in the world are they selling? But see, I know because I worked in retail. I happen to know the trick of the trade. They only had 10 of them. But they used that one to get you to the store. And they talked about it on the news. And they showed you pictures of it. And they told you to come. And they told you how big the sale was. But they only got 10 delivered to their store. Because they delivered 10 at every store. And so it doesn't matter if you were in line for hours. The first 10 got it. And that's the trick of the trade. Get in the press the same way for Jesus Christ. Line up to do something for Jesus Christ. It was so cool when the women were collecting the money for the women in Cuba. And I loved what I heard. Someone came behind me and said, I want to give. And they said to her, everybody's giving. We're done. Everybody got in the press. Get in the press so that God can say to us, I have enough people right now. I'll send you over here to do this. Get in the press. I love that people will get to work on time. And after I say this, you'll be ready for me to go, so I will be soon. They get everywhere on time, but they don't get to church on time. You know, this is not to criticize, but this is funny. I have friends that I don't ride with. I have people that I tell them, I say, listen, I'll meet you at the house of God. And they said, well, Robin, you don't have to be there that early. I said, that's according to you. But according to me, when I come in at a quarter of, I'm late. I know, that's a little crazy to you. But I get to work very early. And let me tell you something, I get to work before work starts. And not just because I'm the boss, but because I get to work early. I do everything early. So because of that, why would I come to God's house 5 minutes late? Get in the press. So I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I want you to stop for a minute. And for just a moment, I want you to think about these things, because I'm almost done. I want you to think about these things. Refocus. Refocus. Forget all about all that you have obtained and ask yourself, what is truly valuable? And everything that I have, what is truly valuable? We protect so many things, but what is truly valuable? My son had his first fender bender and a couple of disobeyed rules. But the first thing I asked him is, how are you? Because he was already upset. He was already trying to tell me the story. And I just said, listen, stop. How are you? Because he's the one that's most valuable. You can buy new cars, but he's most valuable. I can't get another Wilson. There are days, never mind. Anyway, refocus, repent, and move forward in the coming new year of 2019. You need to refocus. If you're out there and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you something. What are you waiting for? You know, I thought about just sitting down at this point and just looking around and saying, what are you waiting for? Today is the day. Today is the day to say yes. Today is the day to come. Today is the day to say, Lord, be the God of my life. I've done a terrible job looking out for my life by myself. Now today is the day. Today is the day that I need to resurface, refocus and ask you to come into my life. Refocus. Don't just read about Christ. Let him in. Experience him. Get to know him. Walk with him daily. One of my favorite books, Catherine Marsh, Marshall's book, in Adventures in Prayer. The one thing, I've read it as a teenager. I've read it as a young adult, and then I've read it again recently. And the one thing that keeps permeating in me is that the adventures that we are to have with God in prayer are not adventures that are going to be repeated each time. He does a new thing in us. One day you go to pray and you're in the presence of the living God, and he is moving one way. Another time you go, and before you can even kneel, he meets you there and he engulfs you. Getting ready to go to prayer a couple of days ago and just getting ready to just settle down and have devotions. And before I could get to my table, I was already crying. Already feeling the presence of the Lord. On Wednesday, I came out for the first time, and the song I heard was Yahweh, I love you. And I left singing that song, but I left crying. I drove all the way home with Yahweh, I love you. Yahweh, I love you. I drove all the way home with it. Ruth and I were talking about the presence of God that meets you in the car and how God is just there. You know, you get in your car, it feels like God just follows you all the way home. But he has a new thing. Refocus. Don't strive. Hold Christ's hand. Walk with him. Let me tell you something. Stop pulling and tugging. Let him lead you. Refocus on your dreams and goals God has given you and put them into action. Some of you got some goals and some things that are just sitting up on shelves and they've gotten real dusty and you can't even recognize them anymore. It's time to dust them off. It's time to drop the excuses and find out what does Christ want you to do with them. Get them off the shelf. Put them into action. Figure out what was the initial plan, God, when you gave them to me. Refocus on your family. You know, if ever there was a time for parents to pay attention to their children, today is the time. Today is the time. Your children are coming in contact with more stuff than you can even imagine on a daily basis. And today is the time to refocus on your family. Refocus on building relationships that have a Christ purpose. A Christ purpose. We build so many relationships and we don't build relationships that have Christ's purpose. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. That's the goal Christ is asking for all of us. He's asking each and every one of us to motivate each other, to be there for each other, to love each other, to extend a hand to each other. And he's asking us not to neglect meeting together, not to neglect sharing. When you come to the table, I come to the table, and three or four other people come to the table, and we begin to share Christ. When we leave, we are all excited. Because Christ is not doing the same thing in each of our lives. Something different is happening in each one of our lives. Let's meet together. It's time to refocus. Everyone stand. And Marie, can you come forward and share what Christ has spoken to you?
Morning. I was in prayer, and I feel like what I have is about disappointed expectation. I was over here and just pondering. In a few days, we're going to celebrate our grandson's activation day. Some of you know that a year and a half ago, we almost lost him to bacterial meningitis and that he lost his hearing at that time. And so a year ago, in a few days, he was given cochlear implants and they were activated in January. So it's been a year. And so sitting with the Lord about my feelings about that, and I know my Lord, I've known him for many years, but this has been a process. And as I was pondering, I saw a picture frame being reshaped. And in counseling terms, that means having something be reframed. And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me that even now, we've been at this for 18 months, he is going to continue to reveal himself to me day by day, month by month, and we've seen marvelous things happen this last year. But as I experience God and his situation, I'm getting to know my Father differently and his provision. And so this has been a very traumatic event for us and for our family. And trauma doesn't get healed by experiencing a word from God in the moment. It gets healed in experiencing God over time, as we get to know him in that experience over time. And so I'm just in a new place of him meeting me. Amen. Amen. So the response to that would be is if there's something that you feel maybe stuck in and you're in your expectation of God. Molly Frank gave an amazing testimony a couple weeks ago about our expectations versus expectancy. And so my expectancy in God is completely changed because I'm knowing him differently. And so if that touches your heart in any way, shape, or form, we would love to pray for you today.
As we get ready to head out of here, if you've been hearing things this morning that have been stirring in your spirit, you are connecting with the word that was just shared here earlier, Pastor Robin's word. If something's stirring in you, we're going to have our prophetic ministers come up here to minister to you. But there's opportunity in everything that you've heard today. There's new life in everything that you've heard today. There's promises of God for you in everything that you've heard today. And if you don't know Jesus, we want to pray with you so that you can come meet him, to be restored to your Heavenly Father and the true life that he has for you in him. If you brought tithes and offerings this morning, we'll collect them at the door on your way out. I just want to say, too, you are a generous people, and you've heard us say that before. We're going to continue to tell you that because it's true. You're a generous people. You give back to the Lord in the portion that he has given to you. It's just amazing to see how faithful that you have been in that. And so I just want to honor God in honoring you in that. So, Father, we just thank you for the year 2018. We thank you for everything that you've done this year, everything, Lord. Every single thing that you have done, you are doing, and you are continuing to do as we bridge into 2019. And we ask, Lord, with expectancy to see what you're going to do in this year, we come with our eyes towards you saying, yes, Lord, what is it that you have for us this year as we walk with you, as we seek your face? Lord, I ask that as all these go today, that you would bless them, bless their celebrations that they have moving into this new year. And Lord, we look with expectancy for what you are going to do in this new year. We know it is going to be your goodness that we will see. In Jesus' name, amen. Hug someone's neck. Please fellowship out in the lobby. And if you need prayer, please come forward. God bless you.